We're going to get started now. So right now, we are passing out two different things. So we're passing out agendas for our meeting today, and we are also passing out green ballots, and those are specifically for members. Michelle is working on getting that to everybody who's on the active membership list. And if you are not, I just want to say this. Thank you very much for being here. I know that lots of you, even who are not officially on the members list, have been a part of CAC for years and are definitely unofficial members in our fellowship, and certainly are people who we value your opinion, your input, and the questions that you have. So I want to thank you for being here, and also to say that certainly when we have the discussion time or the question time, I would love to have you contribute in that time as well. So this isn't like just a time that you have to observe if you're not a member, but the only thing you won't be included in is the official ballot and voting for that. So that's a little overview. To let you know as well, anytime today that you have a question or a comment, when we have the time for that, we're going to be recording everything. And we're going to do that because we have certain members and certain people who are not able to be present with us today. And so we're just going to pass on the recording to them as well. And so we will have a microphone and we'll have a runner when we get to that point in the meeting. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer. And I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 for us as we open. It says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this truth and this wisdom. God, we thank you for the reality that as we trust you, as we lean on your understanding, as we lean into your greatness and into your path for us, as we lay down our own understanding, that you make our path straight. We thank you that you don't leave us wandering without direction, but that you give us direction and that you clear the obstacles from us. And so this morning, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge your work in the life of our church. We acknowledge your work in our lives as individuals. We acknowledge your work in this community. We recognize that it is only through you and through the ways that you lead us and work among us that we are able to faithfully follow you. And so this morning, God, we acknowledge you and we ask that you would make our paths straight and that you would make direction clear to us. As we talk about some of these important changes and developments in our church and the opportunities that are in front of us, we pray that you would give us wisdom. We ask that you would give us discernment. And God, we pray that as we seek you together as a congregation, that there would be a sense of unity in your presence here with us. God, we thank you for the time that we have had this morning to worship you and to hear from your word. And we pray that our time in this meeting would be a continuation of that celebration of the way that you've worked in our lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, and so this is an official business meeting for us, and as of this morning, we had 40 people that are on our official active members roll, and so for our requirements, we need to have one-third of those members here to have this meeting. So I'm going to ask Michelle, our secretary, in just a moment, how many members we have present. Okay. Yeah, that's. If we have 33, we are well in advance of the one-third of 40. So, I will declare us to have quorum officially, and we'll move into business. As we begin this, again, just to acknowledge, there are a number of people that have been putting in a lot of work on the projects that we're going to discuss and talk about today. And so, first of all, I just want to thank the leadership team. There are many of you who are present here with us this morning, and over the last couple of years, even before I came on staff here, some of these things had been being discussed on the leadership team. And so they have put in a lot of hours and a lot of work on the things we're going to talk about today. And then secondly, I want to thank specifically, there were a few people who have been appointed by the leadership team to help work on this project. And so some of those are members of the leadership team. Today you'll hear from Steve and from Kevin. You may also hear from John during the question and answer time. And we also have had Lorena, who has helped in the process, Mike McElroy, who has helped, and Brad Wick, who has been an important part of that process as we are looking at this idea of moving into a new facility. So I want to thank them quickly. And then just to let you know, the layout for our meeting today and the way the process is going to go is that a few of us are going to talk first from the microphone. So we're going to talk to you about the purpose for the proposed move. We're going to talk about the proposal and some of the details that are involved with that. And then after we've listened to some of those presentations, then we will open it up to a question and answer time. So there will be a discussion time. In that time, we would love to hear your questions, your thoughts, your concerns, things you're excited about as we talk about these ideas. With that, we will ask that you talk into the microphone again, just so that people who will be listening to this recording later will be able to hear that. So I'm going to get right into it and just read our official proposal that has been made from the leadership team. It says, the leadership team is proposing that we purchase the Community Evangelical Free Church building located at 4501 Franklin Street, which is just two blocks behind us and one block that direction, for a price of no more than $400,000 for the building, with the contingency of the sale of our church building, this building, at an expected price of $250,000, and with the intent to also sell our church office building at an expected price of $120,000. So you have that before you. You can continue reading over that, but I'm going to just briefly explain two points about that proposal. So the first point in that is that when it says $400,000 for the building, we just want to be clear in saying this, that there are a lot of things that are inside of that building as well. And there are some things that we may want to keep if we go through with the idea of purchasing the building. And so we may be purchasing, you know, there are chairs and tables that are there. There's some furniture that they have in the cafe and welcome area that's there. There are some things like that that they have that we will be talking with them about if we affirm the vote today. And so there may be some expense that could be above $400,000, but what we're saying is that we will not offer them more than $400,000 for the building itself without coming back to the congregation for a different vote of approval. So that's one element of that. That's why it says $400,000 for the building. And the second piece is this, that there's a contingency that we listed in this proposal. And so I just want to briefly explain that. In a couple minutes, Kevin is going to be talking about the finances of and everything that goes into that process. But what we are officially listing as the contingency is that we will make an offer on that building that includes, that is dependent upon the sale of this church building, and then also has the intent of selling our office building. And we were careful in wording it in that way because we believe two things. First of all, that it will be easier for us to sell the office building than this building. But secondly, the office building comes at a smaller expense for us if it would not sell immediately, and there would be options for us as far as renting that building out. So we did not feel comfortable as a leadership team making an offer and then needing to maintain three mortgages on our office building, the church building, and the new church building. We didn't feel comfortable making an offer and maintaining a mortgage on this building and the new church building. But we did feel like if we needed to for a short period of time that we could maintain the mortgages on the new church building and the office building if we had to. So that's why the wording is listed in that way. And again, there will be a chance to ask questions on the official wording in just a little while. But I'm going to talk just for a couple minutes about the purpose for why we decided to bring this proposal before you today. If we look in Matthew at the Great Commission, and this is a lot of what Alan was even speaking to us about this morning, we see this. Right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, there's this passage that is well known as the Great Commission that talks about how we need to be people that as we go about life are concerned with making disciples and baptizing people in the name of Christ. And when Jesus speaks those words, it is after his death and resurrection and before he ascends into heaven. It is literally at the infancy and the beginning of the church, that he lays out a mission for the church to say, this is what you are supposed to do, to make disciples of all people. And then if we would look, and we have to flip a few chapters earlier, but in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, we also read about making disciples, and it says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's in a section where Jesus is teaching people, and he's saying to them, he's telling them about his return and about the consummation of his kingdom, when he'll come to reign in fullness. And what we see is that literally from the beginning of the church to the end of the church, the mission and the responsibility of the church is to be people who are making disciples. As we see that clearly in the words of Christ and in his teaching. We see that clearly if we read through the letters of Paul and the other writers of the New Testament, that as a church it is our mission to be making disciples. We see that very clearly as we read through the book of Acts and we see the history and the story of the early church in the beginning of the church. It's clear from the beginning to the end that the church is to be a group of people who are living as the body of Christ to make disciples and to bring people to his name. And so, as we have discussed this and prayed about this and made plans for this in our leadership team meetings, we believe that there's something that has hindered us in the process of making disciples. And in part, that has been our physical facilities here. That there are some limitations that our facilities have. And there are two main limitations that we believe our facilities have. The first is this, that there's a lack of space. In our worship services on Sunday morning, there's a lack of space. In our children's areas, there's a lack of space. You know, right now we're using a converted storage closet for one of our children's rooms. In any kind of a fellowship hall or a gathering, kind of a multi-purpose space, we have a very small small space for that. And so it's just difficult for us to be continuing to incorporate people into our church body with the struggles that we have in regards to space. And the second is this, that we certainly are not a church that is in any way ADA compliant. That if people are recovering from surgery or have a permanent sort of physical disability, our facilities are very difficult for them to manage. Whether that's getting in the front door to come to worship, certainly going downstairs in any capacity, or needing to use our restrooms. So there are some real limitations that we see in regards to the facilities and where we're at that could be corrected by moving to a new facility. And so these issues are not new to us. They're something that we've known about for years. They're kind of situations that we've been involved with for years. And the leadership team has been discussing kind of some of the options that we have and what we can do about that. And Steve McIntyre has been a part of those discussions for a long time. And so Steve is going to come up and he's going to talk to us about how we think this new building addresses some of those issues and kind of the process that the leadership team has gone through in the new building. So Steve, come. And if you could use that microphone. Okay.
Good morning. Good afternoon. It's 1 minute past. First of all, I'm going to go off script just a little bit here and take us back to, was it 2008 we moved in here, I think? So nine years ago, if my math's right. And I just want to express the thankfulness and the gratitude and excitement we had moving in here. For those of you that recall, that was kind of the end to our nomadic period as a church. It was our journey in the desert, so to speak. You know, I know a lot of you suffered through, sometimes suffering. When it was cold in January and you have to drive the trailer and you're up or very early on a Sunday morning, there's a little bit of suffering there. But 10 years of nomadic lifestyle, going and worshiping in schools and not really having a home of our own. This building was kind of the end of that period of our life, and we were very thankful for that, and we're still very thankful for the building that God has given us. And then God gave us this building next door, and that's a great story in and of itself, where, you know, we offered significantly more than what we bought it for. I think it was maybe we offered $140 or something like that, and then a year, and that didn't work out, and then almost a year later, maybe a little over a year, we got it for $90 at a sheriff's sale. So, you know, God's been really, really good to us. So I wanted to just throw that in as just a reminder that we've been blessed, and this facility has been a blessing in many ways. So that's where I wanted to start. But we want to recognize that there are kind of some weaknesses that we've seen. And the number one is seating capacity. You've heard about the 80% rule. Now, this isn't scientifically proven study with some undisputable evidence, but it's a general, I would say, understanding that in today's culture, especially in America, we don't like to, like, you know, sit close to strangers. We generally leave a gap between us and those that we're not familiar with. Ladies, if you come in, generally speaking, you would probably put your purse on the seat next to you. In fact, I see a lot of people with purses next to them right now. Gentlemen, the same way. You maybe put your Bible on the seat beside you or something. So generally speaking, the rule of thumb is when you're 80% full, you're full. I mean, people walk in as a newcomer to the church. If they see you 80% full, the perception is the church is full. Okay. We set up about 135. Give me some grace on that. I just counted. I think it's 140 that we have set up, but it's close. Let's put a plus or minus five seat tolerance on that. But that does the math work out to, if it was 135 at 80%, 108 would be full. Okay. That's the math. Well, guess where our attendance is? You know, generally in the 100, you know, anywhere from 90 to 110. You know, it's kind of we kind of hover in that area. So we're really hovering right on that full capacity number, factoring in the 80%. Children's ministry space, Scott touched on this. We have one nursery. We have one very small pre-K room, which used to be a closet. And then one larger room that we pull that movable wall in and create two separate rooms down there. The junior high has to walk across the street to have their service when twice a month we get together with the junior high and they walk across the street. By the way, we chose junior high because we didn't feel comfortable sending little ones across the street, especially, you know, bad weather and what have you. So that's where the junior high meets. Obstacle number three was fellowship space. If you've ever been to a soup night or any kind of social gathering downstairs, it's cozy, right? Which is nice, but it's very tight, especially if you have an event, you know, where there's more people that come. You know, it gets very tight very quickly. Some of the missionary meetings we've had have been standing room only, which is good, but it also creates a little bit of a hindrance in terms of what you can do with that space, okay? And then the last one, and Scott touched on this, was the access for those with disabilities. You know, it's a difficult subject. You know, we certainly want to be good ambassadors for Christ. And when you have a building that precludes an entire set of the population, it's not a great message to send, right? So we want everyone to feel welcome when they come in. So that's a definite big factor in our the other thing I would just say there, if you say, well, we could upgrade this facility, extremely expensive to upgrade this facility to be ADA compliant. I don't want to put a number on it, but just suffice to say, extremely expensive. So let's go ahead to the next slide. So how did we get here to this day where we're asking you to vote on a church? We actually began the whole process in the leadership team at the beginning of kind of the 2016 leadership team term, talking about adding a second service. That was where we thought God was leading us. We actually voted to pursue a second service at one point. And then, you know, Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So what we did is Scott reached out to some pastors. We reached out to some lay people that have been through multi-service, kind of that launch process. And the feedback was unanimously negative, to the point that people were very much advising us, don't go there. And there was some reasons for that, mainly related to kind of the size of where we are now and the burden that would place on the people that serve on Sunday mornings, and really kind of the feel of how small two services would be in a church of our size. So we decided against starting that second service. That was a tough decision because we thought God was leading us that way, but we kept our hearts open to where God was leading us, and we decided no. And then I don't know, it was very close to when we decided that. I'm going to say within maybe one leadership team meeting cycle, maybe a month, that Scott got a kind of call out of the blue, I believe, from the pastor of E-Free and said, hey, you know, this is kind of like on the QT. We're not really taking this public, but we're thinking about selling our building. We want it to go to a God-fearing, Bible-believing church. Would you be interested? And so, and we did. And if you can go to the next slide, they had not officially voted on this yet. So it was, you know, just them dreaming as their leadership team. And so we kept it under hat, but we did get over there and look at the building and saw some really nice things. We were pretty surprised that the seating capacity doubles. They have 7 very nicely sized classrooms for children's ministries. They have a fellowship hall that seats a lot of people, 144, a little bit more than ours, maybe 4 times, I don't know. And it has ramp access with ADA compliant restrooms on the main floor of the sanctuary. So kind of like tick, 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 tick. You know, it was very much an exciting visit to that facility. And it looked nice. It was a really nice facility. So we've been, you know, that was just exploratory in nature. We were praying about it. We were trying. It's one of those things when you see a house you like and if you ever shop for houses, like, oh, I don't want to fall in love with it before I actually buy it, you know. And so we were very much just seeking God's plan for us. Well, you know, over time, it matured. You know, they continued to pursue other facilities, and they actually then went public to their congregation. And now we're at the point where they have voted to move, right? They've found another facility, and they've conducted a vote just like we're conducting today, and they've voted to move. So it's happening. We additionally have taken some due diligence steps on our part. Kevin's going to come up and talk about finances. We've toured the facility and we've also taken some people that know structures and reviewed it structurally. And we feel like it's a solid, you know, building that way. We then talked to the Eastern District. And just so you know how that works, there's this Eastern District Executive Committee, DEXCOM, that has to review all property purchases. Why is that? Well, if we default on a mortgage, guess who has to pay it? The district. So they need to be a part of this decision process. They have done that. They've reviewed it and they have approved that the purchase. So we're good to go from that standpoint. And now here we are today. We're ready to cast a vote. So, you know, I just wanted to take you a little bit on a journey of where the leadership team has been as we've gotten this opportunity. Because if you're not in kind of where we were, it may seem like, wow, this is coming out of nowhere. And we wanted to correct that thought. It's been over a year of kind of pursuing what God wants us to do. And a lot of prayer and thought and discussion has gone into it. And so in summary, next slide, Lorena. We're for the reason mentioned, and Kevin's going to come and talk. We just feel like we've concluded, the leadership team's concluded, and that's why we passed this motion at our last meeting, that we believe and we're convinced that this is the next step God is taking for us. So That's it for me. Kevin?
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, go ahead. There, some of these numbers you might have seen in some of the packets that we've kind of pushed around, but you'll see at the end, I think, just how surprising really the numbers translate when typically organizations, churches that are pursuing capital campaigns to, you know, purchase new facilities, land, or whatever, there's an element of faith of numbers that are going to stretch, and ultimately you'll see not a whole lot. So the top of this picture here is really just perspective around when we purchased the two facilities we have, this building and the office. And in 2008, we paid $250,000 for the church we're in. And ultimately, all of our numbers, we've taken a very conservative approach. We're saying that we're going to sell this building at the same price we purchased it 9 years ago, which we believe is pretty conservative, but that's great. You know, that's what we want to put in our plan. Across the street, as Steve mentioned, we got that facility on a sheriff's sale. You know, God definitely blessed us in the ability for us to do that, as we're paying ourselves in building equity as opposed to we were renting office space down the street. And so over time, that's an equity build that we get to really be beneficial and blessed by using. So in the translation here is we're saying if I sell the building across the street at 120, which is also conservative because we offered to buy it at 145, which is still, when we looked at market prices around what houses are, et cetera, is conservative. So we're paying commissions, which I believe is also a conservative number, an 8%. To net that down, that says, hey, we're going to move that equity into paying down the purchase price of $400,000 for the church. That number also isn't a number we made up. We've also kind of discussed with Community Free, and ultimately they've pretty much said that's about where we're going to be. So we're not just throwing a dart out there to say, hey, we'd love it to be about that, and just in case. So that's also a good thing. So when you now translate that down to a 255, go back. Yeah, don't flip. Did I do that? Sorry. I wanted to hit the laser button. What I was going to show is, so our mortgage of here, right, and basically in doing the math on a 5.5% interest, we're actually getting quotes on mortgage rates now, which are actually less than that. So, again, conservative. The mortgage payment per month is less than the two we're paying today, which is pretty nice. Okay. And something you wouldn't typically recognize. So now, next slide. So from a numbers perspective, kind of in putting a financial statement kind of together, we're assuming nothing's changing in the income level or the giving part of it. And historically, and I'll show at the end, there's typically, we've seen incremental growth in our giving. So again, a conservative look on the income side. Those things that are in yellow related to the facilities, we have all of the facilities costs, sewer, trash, electric, heat, etc., from the church around the corner, Community Free. So that's what we've actually put into our numbers. So we didn't make those up either to say, oh, we think the heat might be this. We have actually historics of what they've spent, so that's actually put into what we have. You know, the mortgage, as I mentioned, is actually less. And the other thing we put in there, obviously, is moving into a newer facility. You know, we've done a wonderful job of everybody here is serving to maintain our facility, right? Each week there's a team that comes in, it cleans. We've actually put in here cleaning service and actually having somebody being paid for 5 hours a week to do that. We can kind of manage, I believe, in around that. So to take care of that new facility, which is certainly bigger. You know, the big savings is, and maybe you guys don't know, but we're in a flood zone, this church and the office, which, you know, we've seen some flooding because of really drainage issues, not because actual, like, floods themselves. But that's a big number. So we're saving over $5,000 a year because we don't have to pay for insurance that really we probably never use. And so when you kind of walk through our numbers, what it says is we're actually going to, in the expense side of things, save $3,000 a year by doubling our space. Tough. That's a tough thing to really, I think, to really understand and realize how blessed potentially this move is. So next slide, I'm going to walk through a scenario, and we did this for a reason to say, okay, what if we couldn't sell the office? To kind of say, okay, will that stretch us, and what will that mean? Did I double my slide? Let's see, I'm looking. Page down again. And again. Go back. I'll talk through it. Go back one more. My apologies for that. So these are bad numbers here, but a good number here. So basically, this cell for 120, I pasted in the wrong one. But what we would do here is we would actually put from our savings $22,000 that we would take. We have $35,000 in our savings. We're saying we would take a part of that, which will reduce the equity, and it'll actually make 287. So the math here, and my mistake, is saying 287 is what we would take as our mortgage. And then ultimately it becomes, you can see it's $200 a month is the difference that we would have to manage until we actually sell our office. So that's the piece. And now the next slide. Thank you. So the translation in a year, and what I did here, again, I think pretty conservative, is I actually added costs related to, 6 months of expenses related to managing our office, which I think is really conservative. So I've got heat, maintenance. I actually have the flood insurance in here for that building, which, again, I don't think we'll have to pay. And what it says is, I've got maybe a risk of $5,000 until I manage to get rid of the office. Again, incredibly conservative. We don't believe that's going to be the case. We can rent the place before 6 months. So it's really just perspective on the finances of what's there. And again, as people typically in churches are going forward in capital campaigns, there's a faith element, right? There's a faith element around we're expecting to grow. And so, again, the conservative nature of what the income part of it is, we're saying don't even take that into account in the numbers. So that hopefully that gives you some a perspective, and obviously at the point at the end we'll have some questions if you have further. So.
Yep. And so as we work through the process, like Steve talked about, where this went from really a conceptual idea, how do we address some of the issues that we have with our facilities, and we started to see things taking shape kind of in our minds as we were dreaming about the E-Free building. Then we started to have some of those discussions, like Kevin talked about, and discussions with them about some of the hard numbers. And as Kevin, for the last couple of months, has worked on different projections and elements of that, we've started to see that kind of take shape and seen this opportunity that's available. We said we need to really get some additional perspective and some more eyes on this building and people that have experience in that, and find out some real information about renovations and projects that have been done in the building. So on your agenda, you can see a little bit of that. And if you came to the walkthrough, you received all of this information. There is a little bit, Lorraine, if you'd go one more slide. There's some details about the structure that we have obtained. And the first is this, that the original construction of that building was in 1930. And when it was built then, it was a chapel very similar to ours, where you walked in the main room that was the sanctuary area, and there was a downstairs. They've subsequently done two additions to that space in 1956 and in 1975. And significant additions, a new worship center or sanctuary area, a huge fellowship hall compared to our own. And so they've really made some enhancements in that sense. And then when we also looked at some of the logistics of things they've enhanced about in the building just since the E Free Church has owned them. You see that in 2006, they installed central air into the building and new units that were there. So those are just a little over 10 years old, and those service the main floor and the small second floor, the upper level. The basement is still serviced by window units. They also upgraded their electricity to a 240-volt system. They have replaced the boiler, and they moved from heating with oil to heating with gas, which saved them a tremendous amount of money in their heating expenses. And when they did that, they set up a system where the church is zoned into different sections, so you know they don't heat the sanctuary all through the week anymore and are able to save significant funds in that regard. So they've done a couple of enhancements as far as that goes. A big question mark for us was the roof, just because we know from our own building and getting quotes that that's a significant expense. They do not. That is something that's older in their building. They don't know when the roof was installed before they purchased it, but they had it inspected in 2013, and at that point there was no damage that was found to the roof. They had some work done on the gutters, but they basically received a clean bill of health in that regard. And so what we saw as we had teams in to look at the building was that it's a place that has been cared for well, and that when they've done projects, they have done them in the right way. That's the impression that the more physical facilities-minded people got when they were there. That certainly was the impression of Dwayne Stein, who's an assistant district superintendent, similar in Alan's position, who has a background in engineering and construction. And so those were things that were impressive to us, that as people walked through the building, we were getting good feedback from people who had, know-how when it came to building structures. Now, this is certainly true. It is not a perfect space to paint an accurate picture for you. So they installed a new 240-volt panel that comes into the building. There are also several old panels that would need to be replaced that are in the Federal Pacific line, which didn't mean anything to me when the conversation started, but I have found out those are things that we would need to be replaced before we received a mortgage on it. There's also been questions that have come. They have older tile flooring, and typically tile flooring installed before the 80s has asbestos as part of that process. Some of it is covered with carpet, some of it is not, and so there are issues with that that we're still receiving quotes on and finding information about. This week we have a schedule to walk through and look at some of the AV systems, and so it is not we are not purchasing a brand new facility. We're not purchasing a facility that is without any kinds of issues, but the consistent feedback that we've received over and over again is that that this seems to be a sound decision and a good decision, and that when they've done projects and enhancements, they've done them well. Those are some of the major renovations. They've renovated the sanctuary recently. They renovated a little cafe, greeting area, nursery space, classroom space. They have done a nice job of maintaining and renovating their facility. And so if you were able to walk through, you saw that outside of, there's some flooring issues there with carpet that's old in some places and different things like that. But primarily, it's a really solid building, and seems like for the opportunity we have with the finances and the space it gives us, that it is a good next step for us. And so with that in mind, I want to talk a little bit about the next steps. So we're going to vote in a little while after we open it up for questions. And if that vote is a negative, if we vote against proceeding with purchasing or seeking to purchase the building and sell these properties, then the leadership team kind of goes back to the drawing board. The next step is that we still seek to answer the question that was on Steve's slide about how we can be faithful in making disciples. We go back and we start reworking that plan and figuring out what our next steps are as a church. If we would vote to affirm that proposal, then these would be our next steps. One, as a church, we would need to commit to pray for this process, for the purchase, for the quick sale and of our buildings, for all of the details and everything that anybody who's dealt with real estate knows that there are things along the way that can come up and can kind of put a deal on ice, can sink a deal. And so we need to pray for that process as a church. We need to pray that it isn't just us moving into a new facility, but that it's an opportunity for us to minister to more people and to really be seeking to advance the kingdom in this area. The second is this, that the next step would be that the building team and the leadership team would oversee preparing, listing, and negotiating the terms of sale on our current properties. And to highlight for all of us, that preparing will be significant. So Lorena and Brad are already working on a list of the things that would need to take place in our buildings to really have them be in the best shape for sale. And that is something that will, we'll be paying for some of that to take place through contractors, but we'll be rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands dirty doing that work as well. We would also be going through the process of negotiating terms and purchasing the CEFC building. And so I don't want you to get this impression, though. If we vote to affirm it today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow we make an offer of $400,000. That's not what the process will look like. There's still the process that will take place. There are several elements where we're looking to gather quotes from people to get information from them on different enhancements that need to be done to the space. We will certainly have people looking into, the flooring issue. Like I already said, we have people who are coming to look at AV equipment this week and to give quotes on some of those expenses. And there will be all of the negotiations that would take place upon the things that would be staying in the building or leaving with them. So there's still a process that will continue to take place, but we are asking for the permission and the authority from the membership to proceed with that process. So that's kind of how the next steps will look. And if we can go to the next slide, Lorena. These are two commitments that come along with the proposal we've made. As I already said, if the purchase price would exceed that $400,000, we would come back to the congregation. So we're not just going to offer them $425,000 if something comes up. With a bank appraisal or if something like that happens, we'll come back to you if it would exceed that $400,000 price, which would significantly adjust some of Kevin's numbers. And then also, we would come back to you. We listed it in the proposal as an expected price of $250,000 and $120,000 for our buildings. But if it would come in significantly less than that on offers that we get, 10% less as kind of a combined total, then we would come back to you and seek to have your approval if we think it's still a good idea to sell that at those prices. So this is something that we will certainly be communicating with you along the process. We would not do anything that would seek to put us in a difficult place financially or that would deviate from what has been presented to you today. So those are kind of how the next steps would look if we voted to affirm the proposal that is before you. So right now, this is what I'll do. I'm going to read the proposal one more time, and then we're going to open the floor up to questions or comments that you have. So again, the proposal says this. The leadership team is proposing that we purchase the Community Evangelical Free Church building located at 4501 Franklin Street for a price of no more than $400,000 for the building, with the contingency of the sale of our church building at an expected price of $250,000, and with the intent to also sell our church office building at an expected price of $120,000.